to another episode of Superheroes and Sci-Fi Musings with Adam and Ryan. As you probably know by now, I'm your host Adam, and with me is my co-host Ryan. Ryan, how's it going?
It's exhausting, but I'm doing good.
The same here. It's one of those nights where it's cold outside.
It's cold, and I've been awake since 6 in the morning. So, yes.
We'll be awake till 6 a.m. We'll do a we'll do a marathon podcast. And then we'll send you off to sleep. Since our last episode, did you have a chance to do any non-DC reading?
I don't. I'm a bad boy. I will make up for it by next week. That is a promise.
All right. Cool. I do have a comic recommendation. One would say I read a lot of comics. That would be true.
What? You do?
Yes, and my wallet can tell you. If it could talk, it would tell me many
expletives. SOS, send help.
Yeah, and it would be followed by many expletives. I did read one in particular. Now, you may know this about me, Ryan. Growing up, I remember you said that growing up, your high school show was Roswell, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for me, because I'm a little older than you, my show was Buffy.
Okay.
It was actually running, by the way, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if anybody's lived under a rock and doesn't know what that is. That was running while I was in high school. Like, it ran the same, concurrently. And yes, she was a woman, I was not, but still, the high school experience. I still am not, but the high school experience is, something of a unifier. So I went through high school along with Buffy and her friend. I love that show. And it's been a comic book for quite some time. At the beginning, early, for as long as I can remember, it was a Dark Horse comics. But more recently, Boom Studios took over the license. Boom Studios, of course, produces the Power Rangers comics and the Firefly comics and such like that. So they recently gained control of the Buffy rights, and they're not continuing with the Dark Horse continuity, because Dark Horse, what they did was they picked up with season 8. Right. So the show had 7 seasons.
So they pretty much did like a Smallville season 11.
Right, except kind of thing. It lasted longer than Smallville. With what Boom is doing is they're rebooting the material. It's still Buffy, still the same cast of characters, but more set in a modern, like the modern era, like today's day.
Interesting. Okay.
And so the characters are going to take a little bit different twists and turns as opposed to what they did in the series. Kind of like, Star Trek has the Calvin timeline comics.
Mm-hmm. And
that's the whole thing of the Calvin timeline. Like, what if the characters, same characters took a different, slightly different route with certain decisions?
It's kind of reminding me of what I know about the initial IDW Transformers, where it was the G1, the 80s characters and all that, but in a 21st century.
Right.
Yeah, kind of.
And I read the first issue, and I gotta tell you, I absolutely loved it.
Good.
It was fantastic. Like, I knew, the main characters, Buffy, Xander, Willow, Giles, all those guys. And then it's funny because they brought in some characters that come in later on in the series early on, so you're not expecting that. So even as a fervent fan and somebody who watched religiously, even they managed to surprise me, which is nice. I like that. So I'm loving this series, and I can't wait to see what issue two does. If you've never watched Buffy, have you watched Buffy, Ryan?
No.
You know, if I didn't like you as much as I do, you'd be fired by now. Because this is blasphemy. But I'm going to remedy this over the course of time here. You know that.
Yeah, at least I'm not going around saying back at.
Well, that is the saving grace of anybody. Like, I can be friends with anybody that doesn't run around muttering that crap all day long or tweeting about that crap all day long. But I'm going to remedy your lack of Buffy exposure. Because eventually I'm going to make you watch it. So how about that?
Oh my God. Oh my God, 7 seasons. Oh my God.
You can do it. I'll watch it with you. How about that?
This is why I'm no longer allowed to have a social life.
Not physically in the same room, but you know, we'll coordinate, you know, watching episodes together.
Yeah, it's like how me and my boyfriend Joe,
yeah,
you know, we've been, you know, watching stuff on Netflix, and hell, we're binge watching like 6-7 episodes a night of Rick and Morty lately. So
yeah, well, so we'll do the same thing. Minus the romantic stuff, because that's not my thing. But you know, we'll do the same thing. Just out of curiosity, does Joe know what Buffy is? Does he watch it?
I'm sure he knows what Buffy is, but if you think that I'm a noob when it comes to stuff, he hasn't seen it.
Well, he can get in on the fun too. How about that? We'll make it a whole popcorn and everything, the whole 9 yards.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so I'm gonna get you to watch that eventually. You know what, I should just we should have you read the comic. That's just as good. I mean, you'll be getting it on the ground floor. We'll figure it out. But that's my recommendation. Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 1 from Boom Studios.
Did it just start?
It literally number 1. Just like
okay.
Last awesome. Week.
Okay, good.
So that's my recommendation. Ryan doesn't have any, as he said before. That's okay. I'll let him off the hook. That's it for the comic recommendation. We said last week that we saved some news.
Mm-hmm.
For this week. Well, I was telling the truth. We did save the news. So, I think on our first episode, Ryan, we talked a lot about... we talked about a reboot of an 80s franchise and a sequel to an 80s franchise.
Yes. That seems to be happening a lot lately.
Yeah, well, guess what?
It's happening again.
Yeah, we're talking about another sequel.
Let me ask you this. Is it following the recent formula of where it's a sequel to the original franchise, not the reboot of the franchise that's newer?
It's like you read my mind. That's exactly it. are you the reincarnated version of Nostradamus? Is that what's going on here?
God, I wish.
The truth is, I actually told him the news ahead of time, so he's just prepared. A website called, HN Entertainment has done a interview with Ed Neumeier, who is the producer on this sequel, titled RoboCop Returns, a very apt title. Batman Returned, Superman. Batman Returned, and it was relatively successful, except for the parents group who complained about the payments and the spew, the black spew coming in the ball. Superman Returned, and then went away and got rebooted, and is now seemingly going away, and is probably going to get rebooted again. But that's neither here nor there. Mary Poppins returned and got her ass beat by Aquaman, which I'm very happy about. So
there's still a part of me that really wishes that Wonder Woman 1984 would have been Wonder Woman Returns, but
that would have been cool. Yeah,
just so that each one of the Trinity could have had, you know, returns, but
or they
could
have called it Wonder Woman Returns in 1984. why not?
That way we could have had Wonder Woman Forever and then Wonder Woman and Donna Troy.
I would go for that as long as I was going to say, but I better not say anything. I'm just going to leave it out. I'd go for that. I'll tell you what I was going to say after the fact, off the air. So anyway, this HN Entertainment talked to the producer, Ed Neumeier. And basically, what he's saying is that he went to the studio at MGM and basically told them that they had a script that original director Paul Verhoeven was going to direct. And then for whatever reason, it didn't happen. Things changed, and then we got the RoboCop 2 and 3 that we know happened. But so what happened? He went to them with that old script. They looked it over. They said, "Oh, you know, this could work in a modern day." And so they reworked the script, and then they brought Neil Blomkamp in, mm-hmm. director. Who what was the movie he did?
He's done District 9, Chappie.
Did he do Elysium or not? I can't remember.
I think he did Elysium. He did a couple of live action Halo trailers.
Sure.
I really wish he would have been the one to do like Alien 5 instead of the abominations that Ridley Scott gave us. But
okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. that's a whole another ball of wax. So basically they brought him in, and now he's, you know, he's reworking it. And essentially what this movie is going to do is it's going to be, it's going to be the proper sequel to, had Paul Verhoeven done the sequel, this is going to be that movie. And that they are trying to get Peter Weller, the original RoboCop, to return, which I find very interesting. It very much mirrors the Ghostbuster mm-hmm. situation. Now, let me ask you, what is your relationship with the RoboCop franchise?
Honestly, my only knowledge of RoboCop is from the, God, what year was it? But the reboot, yeah, which I really liked.
And by the way, I'll echo that I enjoyed the reboot. I would have been fine had they continued that. Mm-hmm. You know, any movie that has Michael Keaton in it gets my mm-hmm. seal of approval, and Michael Keaton was in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so was Rick Flagg.
Exactly.
So it was a DC multiverse kind of thing. Not really, but that's in my head canon. As somebody I used to know,
it always comes back to comics. Oh, yeah. Don't wait until we talk about Project Blue Book later.
Yeah, more Batman and Gordon references, I'm sure.
Batman and Gordon and a Marvel reference. We'll get to it.
Okay, good, good. Maybe something I missed. I don't know. We'll see. So I mean, I was okay with the reboot. But, you know, that original was something unique and something special for its time. And, you know, to see what the true vision of a sequel to that would have been is intriguing. And mm-hmm. to have Peter Weller potentially come back, I'm ecstatic about. And let's not forget that Peter Weller was Batman in the Batman The Dark Knight Returns two-part mm-hmm. animated adaptation. So, more Batman connections. This is not Tales from the DC Multiverse. This is
God.
What the hell? I can do what I want.
And he was great as Dark Knight Returns Batman.
He was. And he had really 1.5 appearances less than Affleck. Never mind. I'm going to leave it there. Anyway. So yeah, I'm on board with this. So would you like? Is this something that you'd watch potentially?
So does it, okay, obviously it ignores that the reboot happened. Is it also pretty much ignoring the original sequels too?
From what I understand, okay. it's as if the first one happened, and then now there's this new one.
So kind of in a way like what the most recent Halloween was, where it acted as only the events of the first movie, and just ignores sequels and reboots following. Okay,
and like Superman Returns, kind of, where one and two kind of sort of happened. And then,
yeah, sure. I would go see it. I would need to watch the original.
Yes, and we'd make that happen so we could review it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not.
I've always wanted to watch the original. It's just
and because we both like we'll review that too. Because why the hell not?
Exactly.
We want on the show, and so I'm not the boss of many things, but on this show, I'm the boss, and so Tony Danza, you're heard of. Anyway. We have more news. Speaking of the 80s, there's a shout out to Tony Daniels. Tony Daniels. I was thinking of the comic.
Oh my God.
Anyway, it's Friday night, folks.
Exactly.
I'm told that I'm going to make these mistakes. Just deal with it.
God, I'm going to be surprised if I make it out of tonight without falling asleep on the podcast.
What's that say about? How can you fall asleep with such an engaging host? What is wrong with you? Anyway, more news. Do you like the Resident Evil franchise?
Yes, I do. Very much so.
Well, you will be happy to know that according to Deadline, Netflix is working on a new Resident Evil television series with German company Constantine Film, not John Constantine, but Constantine Film, who made all the previous live-action Resident Evil films. There's no showrunner right now. But according to Deadline, the plan for the series is to expand the Resident Evil universe and deepen the existing mythology. The series will keep the basic premise, which is in line with the, which will, you know, sort of line up with the original films. The article goes on to say that the series will explore the New World Order brought about by the T-Virus outbreak and the mysterious behind-the-scenes actions of the Umbrella Corporation.
Is this more based off the games, or is this more based off of the movies?
Well, it says they're gonna keep in line with the movies, but that premise kind of gives the impression that they might.
Huh. I mean, it's Resident Evil. I'm gonna watch it regardless. It's just as much as I do love the movies, and I love all six of the live action movies. I don't care what people say.
Have you played the games?
Yes, I have. I've played most of them. I haven't played all of them, but I've played most of them.
And you're a fan of the games?
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say I'm hardcore. But I wouldn't say I'm casual.
All right. Well, since I'm always chastising you about, you know, not watching Buffy, which is the same. In fact, I climbed into him.
Oh, my God.
I will admit that I have not watched a Resident Evil movie.
Oh.
But I'm open to doing so. It's always been one of those things where I wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
I just never got around to it.
I would say.
And Mila Jovovich. What's it? Mila Jovovich.
Mila. I always pronounced it Mila Jovovich.
Whatever. Yeah. How do you pronounce it? She's stunning. And
I can't wait to see her as the villain in the Hellboy reboot.
Right. And she kicks ass. You know. She's ass. And that's my kind of woman. And, you know, if I watch, you know, a few of these, maybe she'll end up on my multiverse wives, you know, on the list, right? So
They're good movies. I do have to say that outside of the first two, it's like they follow the games kind of closely in the first two, and then it's like they kind of go off and do their own thing. And I'm fine with that. It takes the same, you know, like characters and concepts and bioweapons and creatures and, you know, this, that, and the other, and it just does its own thing. And that's why I really do admire the Resident Evil movies, is that they, you know, they kind of start in the same, how do I want to say this? Like the same general vicinity as the video games, and then where the games went one way, the movies went another.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. So you'd recommend, you think I like it?
Oh, yes, very much so. I would say that the first three are the best. Not that the second group of three are terrible, but the first three are probably the best.
Okay,
Resident Evil, Resident Evil Apocalypse, and then Extinction.
So I got six movies.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to kill me for this, but unlike Michael Bay's Transformers franchise.
I know.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. I had to throw that in.
But I will, you know, it is probably the most successful movie franchise based off a video game.
Yeah.
What other movies can you, you know, what other video game movies can you say made it to six?
Yeah, not many.
And they made it to six on their terms. It's not like a Michael Bay Transformers thing where its life got cut short. They wanted to do six, so they got a chance.
And here's what I don't understand. Apparently, isn't there a reboot happening?
Which is why I'm kind of confused if the TV show is, because I thought that, I guess when I first heard the rumblings of a Resident Evil series, that they were going to, like I was saying, where the movies went off and did their own thing, that any reboot, movie, TV show, whatever, would follow the video games a lot more closely.
Yeah.
So are we having a Resident Evil multiverse here going on? I'm not sure.
Possibly. Sounds like it. I don't know, but I find this all. I haven't watched any. Like I said, I haven't watched any of the films. But I find this intriguing.
Have you ever played any of the games?
Oh, it's been a while, yeah. But I mean, a long time ago. Yeah. I enjoyed what I played. So I'll probably enjoy the films. It's just, you know, sitting down and making the time to watch them.
Yeah.
So that might be something I look to remedy. When the TV season is over, how about that? And we go into the summertime, how about that?
Sure, works for me.
Cool. And there's one more piece of news that we have to discuss.
Oh, what is it, Adam?
Did you know that Zack Snyder is posting on Vero again?
No.
But this time, it's not about the
teasing fans about a version of a movie that we're never going to see.
I wasn't going to see it, but yeah, that's what. Okay.
I mean, I want to see it.
Don't send all your hate mail to. What's your Twitter? Where can they send their hate comments?
At the Amazing Rye Guy, and I'm saying that as someone who I do not use Release the Snyder Cut hashtag. I'm sick and tired of seeing it.
Yeah, I blocked.
But I do want to see if they came out with a Snyder Cut. Oh, I'm going to be first in line.
If they made one, I'd watch it. I just don't.
It's just, I'm a little bit more realistic, and I don't think it's going to happen. So I've just moved on and accepted.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, he posted a link to the Hollywood Reporter. And the reason he posted a link to the Hollywood Reporter is because Zack Snyder is finally doing what I've wanted him to do for quite some time. And that's making a new movie.
Good.
So he is, let's see here, he is taking his talent to Netflix.
Good choice.
And he is going to direct a new original zombie horror thriller titled Army of the Dead.
Which, when I read this news, I smiled because I may come off as a little bit pompous and elitist here, but I've been around and a Zack Snyder fan since the very beginning. That didn't start with Man of Steel. Okay. I've been around since Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, cool.
which I freaking loved. It was probably one of the first R-rated movies I had to sneak around and watch this.
You were young, and you snuck into.
I would probably put myself at maybe 12, 13.
What kind of crime were you committing? But you realize that's a crime.
I just remember it being like a big deal when
I should send RoboCop after you.
When my brother and his friends allowed me to sneak into the room and watch it with them, I thought it was terrifying.
That's the point.
Yeah.
So you've been a level-headed Snyder fan.
I've been with Zaddy ever since the beginning.
All right. Do you have one of those fan manipulated images where was it with his head on Jesus' body?
No, that kind of stuff creeps me out. God,
so
if I was
you're not that level. You're just
No.
So you're a very level-headed, reasonable fan. That's what you're saying.
I would like to think so. Yeah.
Okay, good. So anyway, back to the news. The script was written by Joby Harold, and the film chronicles a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas, where a man groups together a band of mercenaries to venture into the quarantine zone for a mysterious heist. Now, melding the look, I'm not a super fan of like horror, per se, nor the zombie genre, but the melding of a heist film and a zombie film is a very unique idea, and because it's Zack Snyder, and I've liked most of Zack Snyder's work. You know, I'll run down the list. I love Watchmen. I think it's a masterpiece. I think Watchmen is one of his best films, if not his best. I love 300. I thought Man of Steel was great. I have a ton of issues with BVS, but I still enjoy it. The Owl movie, Legends of what is it? Legend Gahul, the Guardians. I don't know something or another. I enjoyed it for it was cool, and I really like. Contrary to popular belief, I really like Sucker Punch. Really, really like Sucker Punch. Oh.
I still don't understand the hate the movie gets.
If anybody wants to criticize me, because I made some statements on Twitter, and now the zombie horde of Snyderholics is after me for expressing an opinion, and if anybody wants to think I dislike Zack Snyder or his films, it could not be further from the truth.
Yes. So, it's like, guys, the two of us, Adam and I, were big fans of him. We just do not think that he's God incarnate.
Yeah, exactly. That sums it up, yeah.
Yes.
We all know who God incarnate is. It's Tom King and the inventor of Batman. No, that's not even close to the truth. Anyway, so because of the mixed concept of you know, zombie outbreak and a heist movie, I'm going to watch this thing.
And Netflix is gonna be hands off.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna have to be worrying about a Snyder cut of Army of the Dead.
Yeah, the cut that you see is gonna be his cut.
Yeah, and another thing that not only is it Zack Snyder's new movie, not only is it a new zombie movie, but all the way back in 2004, when Snyder released his directorial debut was the remake of Dawn of the Dead. Back then, was talking about ideas for a sequel called Army of the Dead that was set in a quarantined Las Vegas. So I love that, you know, after, let's call it a production kerfuffle that happened between, you know, BVS and Justice League and all the personal shit that he's unfortunately had to deal with for the last 2-3 years. That his next, you know, big project is coming full circle back to his beginnings as a filmmaker.
So yeah, I'm really excited for this. Like, mm-hmm. good for him to get back into direct. You know, tragedy he suffered.
And I'm exactly that good he's doing something that he loves.
The fortitude to, you know, how can I say this? I mean, to have the resolve and the strength to deal with it is the wrong word. It sounds wrong, but to process that and then have the fortitude to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
is amazing and phenomenal. And
I mean, he has every right to just take. If he wanted to take 5 to 10 years off, he has, after everything he's been through.
Now, would you blame him after what happened with his daughter if he packed it in?
No, I would not have surprised me.
But here we go. I mean, like I said, mm-hmm. he dealt with it. He suffered, and he's persevering, and mm-hmm. He's doing something that he loves and creating entertainment for people. And I have nothing but the utmost respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see this. Even like I said, even though I'm not a huge fan of zombies and the like, I will check this out. Mm-hmm. I will probably go back. I will circle back and watch Dawn of the Dead. His version of Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. And the original's good.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. And I hope he does more stuff with Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know about you, but I'd love to see him tackle a actual UFO alien kind of movie. Like a non-Kryptonian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be fascinating. Personally,
God, I wish he could do a Godzilla movie. I don't know.
Oh, he'd be good for that.
It's like just, it's like how I want my, and of course this is gonna sound like, you know, sarcasm or no, I legit love these people so much. I would love to see Michael Bay do a Captain America movie. I would love to see Zack Snyder do a Godzilla movie.
Yeah,
because I think. They could do some, you know, both those directors with those two franchises could do something brilliant.
You know, I'm going to say something that's going to piss off a lot of people. And it probably won't happen now because that movie has directors. But I think visually Zack Snyder could bring something amazing to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. With his visual style. And even, you know what else? I know, you know, the creator of the property is doing it. But, you know, considering Zack Snyder's horror background,
mm-hmm.
you know what I think he'd be good at?
What?
Spawn.
That.
No, I'm not joking. I'm serious.
This is the first thing that comes to my head is just watch BBS. You'll get it.
Watch
BVS, you'll get it.
Oh, okay.
Hey, and before people like want to start, you know, attacking me, I love BVS. So yeah. I'm just saying that movie is grimdark. That's all I'm saying.
No, yeah, no, but what I'm saying is no, but he'd be, but especially for what I think Todd McFarlane's wanting to do with it, which is, you know, a scarier, more horror centric version.
Mm-hmm.
And Zack Snyder's worked with lower budgets before. I mean, what do you have? $50 million for 300?
Really? For 300?
I think he had even less with Dawn of the Dead, so he could do it.
I check, a quick check of IMDb says, like, not even $30 million for his Dawn of the Dead movie.
Well, there you go.
Uh-huh.
So I think you get, he can do it. Now, I'm excited to see what McFarland brings, but this is just, you know, what I had in mind. But I'm happy he's back at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he does several films for Netflix. And I can't wait.
I'm just glad to see that he's doing what he loves again. And there's also a part of me that's glad that his next movie isn't that Fountainhead movie, because anything by Ayn Rand would probably just piss me off.
Well, I have no desire to see that, even if it's Zack Snyder's. Like, it doesn't seem like
I mean, movie. I would see it, but it's Ayn Rand just, crap, just, so...
The description doesn't seem like anything up my
alley. I know.
So
that's why it kind of came as a surprise, a very pleasant surprise, that, you know, his... confirmed his next big movie is going to be a sequel to his directorial debut. So
the moral of the story is, Zach, only do projects that we're interested in seeing. How about that? And then we can review on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that is a lead-in to say that eventually we will review 300, Sucker Punch, Watchmen. Watchmen's on Tales from DC Multiverse, but maybe Ryan can come on and...
Yeah, because I do love the Watchmen movie. I have the unpopular opinion that I think it's better than the book. So,
yeah.
Except for one big thing, but that's it. It's just one thing.
You know what? I'm not going to argue with that. I would agree with that. I think you're right. And
honestly, my one complaint about the Watchmen movie, it would have made absolutely no sense. But yeah, would I have liked to have seen a giant blue space squid just appear and materialize in New York City? Sure, but it would have been weird. So how they explain stuff in the movie is, it makes more sense.
And yes, for those wondering, Steven, I know you're wondering, Malin Ackerman is on my list. She's one of the multiverse wives. Don't ask for a number, you're asking for too much. I only give until I do my list. And we'll review it on the show. You want that kind of, you know, high-end information ahead of time? Consult my PayPal, and then we'll talk.
Oh, my God.
So, there it is, Stevie. You're going to have to wait for that one. But that's it for the news. Why don't we get into reviews?
Okie dokie.
See how that, I'm a rapper now. Eminem.
Oh, my God.
No. Actually, some M&M's. Actual M&M's would taste real good right now. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. First up, Project Blue Book, which has nothing to do with Dr. Manhattan, who is all blue. But, Ryan, what was going on in this episode? Give us a brief kind of synopsis.
Well, kind of following on the tradition of this series.
Oh, yeah. What was the story? What was the case?
The case that initially starts off the episode is a kind of by the book, you know, by the numbers, UFO sighting by eyewitnesses on a plane and also on the ground as well. But the more that Dr. Hynek and Captain Quinn...
You remembered this week. Good for you.
I was afraid I was going to forget, but...
Be honest, you have IMDb open, don't you?
Actually, no, I do not.
Oh, good. Congrats. I'm happy for you. I'm proud.
But it has them discuss, you know, the investigation into this incident has them uncovering the truth of an actual real world program called Operation Paperclip. Did you know about Operation Paperclip before this episode?
I did not.
Well, it is, as with every other...
it was a little before my time, man.
It is like, you know, based off of, you know, a real world organization, program, incident, like every episode has been, where late 40s into the 50s, we were kind of, how do I want to say it? We were bringing over Nazi scientists, Nazi allied scientists,
right. Yeah.
To help with our military, to help with our own space program. And this is exactly the reason why Hydra was able to infiltrate S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's all laid.
Is that your Marvel reference?
No. Actually, my big Marvel reference for this episode is.
Well, save it. Continue.
I'm gonna screw up his name anyway if I try to say it. So, but yeah, Captain Quinn, Dr. Hynek find out that there's this airbase down in Alabama where a bunch of well-renowned Nazi allied scientists are working on rockets, and as we see later in the episode, an actual human-made flying saucer, which surprised the heck out of me.
Yeah, that was shocking.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that.
Being led by the leader of this group is Wernher von Braun.
Yes.
Who was a real world figure. He was, you know, again, Nazi allied. Based off my own recollection, I don't know if he actually was, whether or not he was like full fledged or if he just kind of allied himself, because since that's who was in power at the time in Germany. But he, you know, worked on rockets and space travel and helped out with programs for both Nazi Germany and then later the United States. Now, my Marvel reference is that the guy who plays Wernher von Braun in this movie, he's Baron Wolfgang von Strucker in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, that's right.
From the post-credit scene of Captain America Winter Soldier and then the opening third of Age of Ultron.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. I didn't
hear.
It was bugging me that he looked familiar. Well, who is this guy? Now I know. Oh, that's awesome. I continually am just in awe of the show. Like how.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really keeps me at the edge of my seat. Like when you see. And the interesting part was, as much as the case was itself was interesting,
mm-hmm.
and all that information about how, you know, like, with like you said, how the Americans used to bring over former, you know, scientists, Nazi German scientists to help with their space program. All that stuff was done. When the mysterious, you know, people confront. When that guy confronts, what was her name, Mimi, the wife of Hynek?
Yes.
Because they've been following both, you know, we've seen people following both Hynek and his wife around, you know, since the beginning of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And so to now have one of these people confront them.
And we know that this guy was, I might actually have to go back because he says that he was involved No, he makes reference to Fargo.
Right.
Which is the first episode.
The first episode, yes.
So I don't know if he's supposed to be the pilot or if he was just.
I think it was because he looked familiar.
Either the pilot or maybe the like air traffic control. Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to go back and see if I can.
I think he was in one of the. Well, he was in the episode for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Which guy he was. He was the pilot or like you said, the air traffic controller. Guy, but the fact that you know you have you know one of these people who are confronting our husband and wife duel, actually confronting them, and so now it becomes it's sort of a confirmation outside of what we're seeing that the you know that there is an alien kind of presence happening here, and it's from somebody other than. You know, our main character is dealing with it. So it's almost like a confirmation kind of thing. Or a reaffirmation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that aspect of it. And sort of the I love the way she handled it. Again, because you got to think of the time period we're in here.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't play it like the dad was in distress. Mm-hmm. Like she tried to, I think she tried to use some form of mace or something on him. I believe.
Awesome.
Before the Russian, you know, the Russian neighbor in disguise came in. Mm-hmm. But again, it was two, think about it, in the context of the time period, two women fighting off this attacker is pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. And the Russian spy just continues to fascinate me.
Yeah.
It's like, I just so badly want to trust her, but I know I can't.
Yeah, it's good. But that look, the actress does a really good job of mm-hmm. lure. I mean, those scenes where she's befriending Mimi, she lulls the audience's, you know, guard, and you do get as a viewer a false sense of security with her.
Mm-hmm.
Before you eventually snap back and like, oh no, she's.
Oh wait! Oh wait! She's spying.
Yeah. So it's cool and good job on the actress. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, but the big reveal, the two big reveals was when Hynek and Quinn are poking around the Air Force base. What do they find? They find in sort of like a containment. Can you call it a chamber? What do we want to call it?
I would call it a chamber or container.
Okay. Know. A containment container. Well, okay, yeah.
It's a containment chamber.
Yeah, because containment container is kind of like a. Just repeating myself.
So, now say that. Now say that five times fast.
Yeah, I don't get paid enough for that. So in the containment chamber, they find a alien, a legitimate, bona fide alien, and. That I was not expecting. Like, I wasn't expecting them to give us that, right? You know, that, like I said, that concrete, tangible thing. It was, oh, okay, so. And for Quinn to be able to see that, too, I think is important. Because he was starting to, like, you know, doubt his government employees. Or employers,
mm-hmm.
and sort of question what was going on. But now he's got like a real eye-opening, you know, confirmation that, hey, the stuff that they're hiring us to find plausible explanations for is likely actually aliens. Now, how much of that, Ryan, do you think is fiction?
Well, we know that...
Because are those... Like, if these are based on, let's say, Hynek's notes or files, would something like that, you think, be written down? I would.
Yeah. See, I know that this show does take a fictionalized approach to right. the real world. But, like, later on in the episode, Wernher von Braun tries to play off the creature... in the chamber as a deformed monkey that got sent into space. And I know that.
I did want to watch Planet of the Apes after he said that. I'm like, ooh, Matt Reeves, let's watch Planet of the Apes.
And I do know that was a very, at the time, a very common explanation, especially from people who claim to have seen bodies at potential UFO crashes. Oh, it was just, you know, American space program thing, and we shot monkeys up in space.
No, was that does anybody know if that was an actual practice? Like, did they actually?
I know that
shoot monkeys into space.
Why do I want to say that the Soviets did it? Because I know actually was a practice. It was just the convenient excuse for anyone who claimed to have seen an alien body.
Are you suggesting even back then there was Russian-American collusion? Because things are really coming full circle now, if that's the case.
No collusion.
Well, they do have... Well, I'm not going to say it. I don't want to lose listeners. But I'll tell you off air. but yeah, no. It's... That was, to me, again, that was shocking. to me, I literally had, because I taped it to avoid commercials, so I recorded it. Uh-huh. I had to pause, and I'm like, did I see what I think? And I had to rewind. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there it is. I didn't. That was, honest to goodness, I was really, I wasn't expecting that. And then the ending, where you, like you alluded to it too, you spoiled it, about them putting a pilot in, forcibly putting him in to a man-made UFO.
Uh-huh.
Which presumably they constructed based off of reference points of an actual UFO. My question to you is, when it like sort of vanished after they got it, you know, going, started up, what do you think happened there? Do you think, like, did it teleport? What's your theory?
I have to think teleport, but to where? I have no idea.
Yeah, I want to know where it went. Yeah, that's the problem. And I don't know if we're going to get the answer, but I want to know where it went.
I find it. I want to know the explanation for the design on the ground that it leaves behind, which is very reminiscent of, you know, crop circles.
The crop circles.
It leaves it. Obviously, the...
Because I thought of signs when I was watching. I'm like, oh, and this whole episode, I was like, hey, monkeys in space, Planet of the Apes, Matt Reeves, let's watch it. And then those crop circles, and I'm like, hey, signs, M.A. Shyamalan, let's watch it. so this whole episode had me wanting to watch other movies. But not because this episode wasn't good, but it was calling to mind, you know. Movies that I love. So you're saying a teleport?
I would have to think teleport just to where. I don't know.
Do you think it worked? Or do you think the guy somehow disintegrated or something?
I would be very surprised if the poor, unfortunate soul in the aircraft survived.
Because if he did disintegrate, there's a couple of people that I like to send into space in it. And is disintegrating the ship. You probably can guess who one of them is. But this episode was fascinating, gripping. I'm continually riveted by this show. And it seems to me like each week, every episode gets better and better. I don't know if you're getting that same vibe.
I feel like I am, yeah.
All right, good. So we both liked it. You're going to have to do that thing that you don't like doing now, which is rating this episode. So what would you give it?
I would give it just probably just a straight A. I think it's... Probably four episodes in, I would still say it's the best episode of the season.
Yeah.
Because of it's just moving. It's moving along a lot of plots. Like, I was really kind of worried that the show would, you know, when I call it, you know, retro X-Files, I was afraid that they were going to kind of just do a monster of the week thing for most of the show. But no, only what, four episodes in? Four or five?
Yeah.
We're moving along at breakneck pace. We're moving along kind of fast.
Yeah, and I mean, what you talk about is, like, you know, yes, they have different cases each week, but they all interconnect to the larger conspiracy at play.
Uh huh.
Which is, I think, fascinating. So I'll get a straight A from you, and I'll agree that it's the best episode of the series to date. So with that said, I feel compelled and comfortable with giving it an A+.
Nice.
Yeah. Come on, History Channel, give us that renewal.
I know everything else got, you know, a lot of. I'm so glad that the whole Arrowverse got renewed.
I'm glad that everything but Legends of Tomorrow got renewed. That, unfortunately, I was not pleased by that. But look,
I wish that maybe, I know they haven't even filmed the pilot for Batwoman, but I wish that they would have just thrown that in there.
Here's my thing. People can like Legend, that's fine, even though I don't. And I'm fine with Legends continuing. On the provision that I get my Batwoman show. If they don't pick up Batwoman and their excuse is, well, we have too many DC shows, my retort is going to be, well, why didn't you cancel your lowest rated one? Which,
if anything, I won't lie. I was a little surprised Legends got renewed. Happy, but surprised.
Look, look, even though I don't watch it, I'm happy what is his name? Heatwave there, Dominic Purcell.
Mm-hmm.
Is hopefully going to come back and still working because I really like him.
I'm glad. He and Brandon Routh and Matt Ryan, they are the MVPs of that show.
I'm so glad that those three guys are working.
And Katie Lutz. I can't believe it.
And by the way, I've said it before, and you've heard me say this, that even the fact that I don't like what they're doing this particular season.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of leading ladies, excuse me, on the Arrowverse shows, Katie Lotz is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Even with my displeasure of this season. And who knows, Ryan? Could be that maybe next season,
Batwoman will take her place.
No, well, probably, but no. But what I'm saying, next season, Legends. What could happen is, what if it changes course again, and does something different? Maybe I'll get back on board.
I hope so.
Like I did with The Flash. Remember, I thought last season of The Flash was horrendous. I mean, I didn't stop watching it, but I thought it was horrendous. And this season, I think it's amazing again. So could happen, and I'll give the first episode a crack. First couple episodes, like I did this season, and I hope it turns itself around. But I'm happy that those people are still working, that they're still within the DC, CW Arrowverse. And just make sure, Mr. Mark Pedowitz, that you give us, you give me my Batwoman show, and we're not going to have an issue. By the way, I just like to point out, before we move on to Roswell, Ryan, I have a feeling, this is just my internal feeling, that Supernatural is going to outlive us all.
It's probably going to have like 10,000 seasons or something at this point.
And look, if it outlives us all, I'm okay with that.
I just want to understand why is it going. Like, at this point, I would be intimidated to want to watch it from the beginning. If I had,
Well, 15 seasons, sir.
No, we're done. No, I quit.
Listen, you can't quit. Well, you could, but. I just call you randomly and record our conversation. And they happen to have a sci-fi bent to them.
Come on, that's why we started the show anyway. So,
now, wait a second. You're telling me that if I started rewatching with you, you wouldn't entertain me?
I would literally have to give up having a life if I want to have any chance at getting through everything I currently watch. Plus 14, 15 seasons.
Yeah, but there's no necessary a deadline to when we have to finish watching it. I mean, sometimes before we both croaked would be nice, but beyond that, I'm flexible. You know? We'll see, but I want to cover Supernatural in some way, shape, or form in the future. So we'll figure it out.
Oh my God.
We'll figure something out.
Episode by episode review every single season, every single week.
No, I don't think we do that. Well, I mean, listen, if God forbid Project Blue Book gets canceled and Roswell gets canceled, then maybe we'll consider it. But otherwise, we'll figure something out.
It will be sad if either of these shows get canceled.
But speaking of the other show, let's talk about Roswell, New Mexico. What a segue. You like that segue, don't you?
I know. Why didn't you give it to us this time? Because for God's sake!
You're the description man. You're the IMDb.
Oh my God! I have to remember a couple days ago. I can't remember what I did this morning.
Just pull up the IMDb description. I'm good with that.
IMDb. We are prepared, people. We are so totally prepared.
I didn't tell you had to memorize the plot for blow by blow.
Okay.
Well, I guess
What the hell? IMDb has it at 5.2. You know what? Go F yourself. Out of 10.
Who votes for these things?
It just says on IMDb. I'm like, what the hell?
No, it's whatever. Russian bots.
No, it's the people that are mad about Alex and Michael. Probably. Wouldn't surprise me.
I want to say that's not it, but I'm kind of sad that I don't trust.
One star review, worse than an unnecessary remake. This may destroy the franchise. Wow.
That's really. I thought it was.
This is how you reboot a franchise. Whatever. People are entitled to their wrong opinions. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. We're at episode plot summary. God damn it.
I'm gonna say how many chapters.
Is this gonna get edited out?
No, we're keeping it in. We're authentic here. We're real. You know. There's no fake news here. It's all legitimate.
God.
Listen, if Kevin Smith can have barking dogs for in his podcast for three quarters of the podcast, three quarters of the episode, we can do that too.
Where can I find an episode by episode thing?
You want me to look? I'll look.
Episode guide. Much for the this there it is. Okay, tearing up my heart through. Okay.
Episode 3, correct?
Yes. Episode 3, plot summary. Shortest freaking plot summary ever, but we can. All right. So two of the big takeaways from our most recent episode of Roswell was that Liz and Maria kind of teamed up to go scavenger? What'd you call it? Scavenger hunting?
I would call it that, yeah.
Yeah, going around town Roswell, trying to figure out clues as to, Rosa's life and her last days. And the way that they're able to identify where Rosa has left something is, these like cutesy little heart, drawings, on rocks underneath.
Sure, yeah.
Bridges, behind bricks, behind all sorts of things. And also at the same time, we're continuing the antagonism between Liz and Max from Liz getting that glimpse of Max being present on Rose's last day.
Yeah.
Now, I will confess, I'm actually kind of surprised that kind of got wrapped up.
Kind of, but not really. Not
like 100%. I thought when they were setting that up last week that this was going to be a whole season thing.
I think there's too much sexual tension between them two.
Of course. It's a CW show. There has to be sexual tension. Yeah. They're both the two very pretty looking people. Wow. There has to be sexual tension.
Yeah, right.
But it got wrapped up
relatively quickly.
Yeah. They could always, rekindle. I mean, hell, Max and Liz were like on and off again for the first two seasons of the original TV show. They didn't like officially become a thing until the final season.
But they actually lasted as a thing, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, the series ends with Max and Liz getting married.
Yeah, so. Right. Because unlike Clark and Lana, right?
Unlike what?
Unlike Clark and Lana. I just want to throw that out there.
Oh, my God. But Clark and Lois did have, what, like a...
No, I know, but
at least Clark and Lois had an almost
wedding. Yeah, right. And we know they got married, like in our head canon. In actual canon, not our fake head canon.
I always kind of figured then the Smallville universe, like what, maybe 5 years after he officially became Superman, they officially tied the knot, Kind of done. Yeah. So one of the clues that Liz and Maria find from Rosa is this love letter that Max wrote. And Liz, you can say she overreacted. I don't know. But she takes this as a hint that, like, she interprets this as Max and Rosa had a thing back in high school.
Yeah.
And Max tells her that, no, he actually wrote that note for Liz, and that Rosa just intercepted, and the reason why Max had encountered Rosa on her last night was because, you know, so again, she had intercepted it, and she was going to confront Max, drunkenly confront Max about leaving Liz alone. Still don't know if that completely clears Max. I don't think that he... Again, we brought this up last week. I still think that they're going to go the Nisado route when it comes to who really killed Rosa with the handprint. I don't think it was Max at all. But there's just some inkling kind of telling me that there's more to the story still.
Yeah, I think it'll pick up again for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that Max's powers are intertwined with his mood.
Mm-hmm, which is kind of scary.
It's kind of like the Hulk.
Yeah. For God's sakes, he gets so mad at the, you know, he gets so stressed out and mad at the, in the last scene of the episode that, you know, one fist punch to the ground causes all of Roswell, New Mexico to have a blackout.
That was incredible.
Uh-huh, I
that, like, that was phenomenal. Like visually, mm-hmm. They looked good. And, and I just, like, even, but even though, like, when she was doing the, like, asking him the questions and doing the test
and,
on like,
him, the experimenting, and
yeah.
she gets him so, like, stressed out to the point that he almost blows up. He does blow up, like, the little machine or something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but so... It mm-hmm. just, I found that pretty unique that is,
mm-hmm.
that his powers were sort of rooted in his emotional, or tied with his emotional state, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of, so by the way, my if I had any doubt about my qualm last week about potential incest, which wasn't, that was now quelled because it was confirmed that the episode confirms that it was his partner.
Yeah,
he was having a tryst with, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they've been having on again, off again, since before even Liz came back.
Right, and who really could blame him? I mean, I can. But I like the fact that I liked how it was a little weird, but how focused Isabel was with Matt, like how almost jealous she is at the prospect. Mm-hmm.
Like she's the one that has a character arc in this episode.
Yeah. But how jealous she becomes over Max.
Mm-hmm. Like,
over the realization that Max is in love
with Liz, and that they that she and Michael can't just easily scare her away like they thought that they could.
Yeah, because I think deep down what Liz what you get from Liz is that she does love Max, even though she's now putting up this front of, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
I'm angry at him and this and that. So,
one thing I'm really glad about this episode is what, now three episodes in, we finally get a demonstration of Isabel's powers.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's a little similar but different to Isabel from the original show, where in the original she was, I like to have always called it dreamwalking, where she, if she fell asleep, she could enter the dreams of anyone that she thought about.
Kind of like Inception,
No, a little bit. And she has like some limited interactivity. While here, it seems to be more kind of just simple telepathy.
Right.
Yeah, like she doesn't need to actually like fall asleep. Yeah. In order to enter Liz's mind.
No, that was really cool to see it manifest. And we're getting a sense of what they can do, which is really cool. I'm kind of frustrated with the Alex and why am I forgetting his name?
Michael,
yeah. Relationship, because it seems like he's still very, oh my God, nobody can find out. You know.
Yeah, but I got the hint that his dad knew the whole time, that his dad is aware.
His dad knows, but it bugs me that he's so, oh my God, nobody can find out. Like, come on, it's 2019, get over it.
Exactly. Hell, if anything, I got the, at least my interpretation of the little confrontation between Alex and his father in the episode, you know, it's not about Alex being gay. It's just like, really, Michael, out of anybody, Michael.
No. His father, it wasn't like, oh my God. You know, that was a good, I mean, his father still comes off as a giant prick.
Oh God, yeah.
But it's not about, oh my God, you're gay. You've embarrassed me. You've embarrassed yourself.
Why Michael?
This jabroni, you know, basically. Right? Where like, couldn't you pick a better upstanding, you know, upstanding member of society?
Mm-hmm.
So that in that aspect of it, I
yeah.
Let
me hate Alex's dad because he's anti-alien, not also because he's a, you know, bigoted prick.
Right, and I like that they did that. Mm-hmm. That was the reason, not because of it, like you said, because he was gay, but because of who he was with. I mean, that would be the reaction of if it was a girl in a relationship with a guy that the father didn't like. That would be the reaction. So I was okay with that. I'm like, all right, well, that aspect of it is true to life, so I'll roll with it. But I like that for a minute there, it looked like Valenti was going to grow a spine until Alex's father were to go. But and he sort of seems like he's going to be in cahoots with him some more.
Cahoots, but he's withholding, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
he Kyle knows about Max.
Yeah, and he's withholding that. Yeah. But I think he's doing it for Liz's sake more than Max's. So that's an interesting thread that we're going to have to watch, you know, follow through. But I really liked it. It continues to build from episode to episode. Takes us deeper in the story. And we still have no real answer, other than Max didn't do it. We still have no real answers of who killed Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
Or what exactly happened.
We have our theories. We expressed that last week.
Right.
And nothing this week has made me change that thought.
So it'll be interesting to see how they continue on with it, where they take it, if we're right or not, and then how it develops. So I'm again, like I said, like we've said in past episodes, and like I said earlier tonight about Buffy. This is how you reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm loving it.
Don't listen to IMDb, who's giving it a 5.2 out of 10.
Yeah, that particular episode, right?
No, overall, the whole series.
Oh, that's just dumb. Speaking of rating, what would you rate it? The episode, not the series.
God, I'd rate the series very high, and I'd be like slamming on CW store and being like, hey, you renewed the whole Arrowverse. Thank you. Now, can we also show Roswell some love, please?
They better. But what would you rate it?
I probably would rate it A minus, B plus. Only because I feel like a lot of movement is being made on the Max Liz front, you know, and Isabel and Valenti and Colonel Mains or something. I forgot what his rank in the army is.
Yeah.
Alex's dad. But Michael and Alex themselves, like, it just kind of, I thought with who Alex's dad is that there would be more tension, or like that. It just feels like a little bit like they're spinning their wheels a little bit, like they're kind of just treading water until they can do something with it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I can.
I wouldn't say it's bad at all. It's just, you know, I don't know how many episodes is the first season supposed to have.
I want to say 13.
Yeah, but it's like, can we at least maybe, hopefully soon, have Max, Isabel, and Michael learn about what Alex's dad is up to, so that there can be tension.
Yeah, if I had to guess, we'll probably get, judging by how these shows work, I'll probably guess by the halfway point, so by episode 6 or 7 is my guess when that'll come
maybe,
to an end.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, if I would read it, I would, like I said, I really like the fact that we got Isabel's power.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the movement between the Max and this storyline.
Uh-huh.
I'll give it a solid A. Yeah, really good episode.
Yeah, very good, very good.
That pretty much brings this episode to a close, right?
Wow, we're doing them short nowadays.
So, yeah, well, yeah. But before we get out of here, why don't you tell our listeners how they can interact with you on social media?
Well, if you want to come onto Twitter and yell at me for being anti-Zack Snyder and for not understanding the complexities of Man of Steel and BVS, even though you don't even know me or that I love his movies, you can find me at the Amazing Rye Guy on Twitter.
Yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to interact with me, you can on Twitter at Superhero Sci-Fi, but don't do any of that Snyder stuff that Ryan was talking about, because if you do, I'm very proficient with the block button, and I use it as my version of the Phantom Zone projector, like Jor-El did in the 1978 movie. And if you harass me because of your ill conceived understanding of my opinion on Zack Snyder, I will simply send you to the Phantom Zone. But if you want to talk to me as a rational human being and have a cool conversation about this stuff, you can add Superhero Sci-Fi on Twitter. And also join the Facebook page, Tales from DC Multiverse, the podcast, is the name of the Facebook page. Request entry into the group, and we will add you. And then we're going to have those discussions there if Facebook is more your speed. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And until we meet with you next week, live long and prosper. So long, everybody.
Take care.